everybody. Welcome to edition 282 of the NRF1 podcast. As you can probably tell by the dulcet surroundings and background noise, I'm sure you'll hear, we are back in the Rush Cutters pub, the one and only. I'm here with Kyle Cumbers. We're sat down at a table, just the two of us, with a nice pint. We're waiting for some food. You happy to be back in the pub, Kyle?
Yeah, it's been a while. It feels a bit back to normal. We're at table 43. I was trying to think of an F1 driver that 43.
Lando's four, isn't it? Who's three?
Ricardo?
He is, isn't he? Yes, yeah, so it's the McLaren. We call it McLaren table.
We're at the McLaren table. It's worth it because it's been a while since we've done a podcast, but we've had two Austria races in between, the Styrian Grand Prix and then the actual Austrian Grand Prix. To be honest, they're both very similar to each other, apart from, I think, the big difference from the first to second. Super Lando, where did he come from?
Well, he was sort of... I mean, he's fairly good in the first run, Styrian Grand Prix, he's probably Super Lando, then he was Super Lando in the second one, where he seemed to... He was, putting his car in a place that didn't seem to deserve to be. There's a big contrast between... First race, he seemed to be happy to let people by. This one, he seemed quite feisty and wanted his podium position, which he got in the end. Also, his qualifying lap was just wow, free.
Yeah, it's not every day you get a McLaren within a tenth of a second of a Red Bull, is it?
No.
I mean, he pulled something out there.
Yeah, and especially a Max Verstappen Red Bull around the Red Bull room, to put it that close, was unbelievable. And he's making four Danny Rick look pretty average at the moment, which is not, which we know, but just shows how good. You can't really call him last lap Lando now because he's every lap Lando.
Yeah, that's true. And was it the first or second weekend that he got a new contract, didn't he? They signed him up to a longer term contract, McLaren, I think.
Yeah, there's been quite a bit of F1 news the last few weeks. So yeah, he's got a new 3-year deal, isn't he? So it seems it's just this year he's always fairly decent. He's been quick. He's just taken another step. I mean, now he's sort of pushing the top drivers in the paddock now. So it's all good for British motorsport from a biased point of view.
Well, it's good because obviously we'll go further into depth with the Austrian Grand Prix. But it is the Silverstone Grand Prix, the British Grand Prix, in just a few days' time. So Formula One is coming home. It's come home, we should say, because they're already here. Because it is a Wednesday we're recording this, so I'm sure they're already there. Ready for the media days on Thursday anyway, isn't it? So
busy day for Hamilton and Norris and Russell tomorrow. But it's not us being over the top, biased Brits by, everyone's coming home, but it's just a bit of a joke based on the Euros. But F1 is, everyone's coming home. But not being, what's the word? Over the top about it. But it's one of my favourite sporting weekends of the year. So looking forward to it. And also I think the weather is supposed to be scorching. So
another scorcher. I mean, Austria, there was all the talk of rain like for both races. Oh, it could rain, and then it just didn't. It just went away.
You read the Styrian Grand Prix, Austria won, that rain was guaranteed, and I think I can't remember if there was any rain, but I think there's a few spits in P2, I think, in the second Austria race. But it doesn't look like it'll be rain this weekend. But we've got a slightly different weekend as well with a sprint race, and we'll see if that throws up any unusual results or group positions. But
yeah, definitely. And it's worth saying, obviously, both Austrian Grand Prix were dominated by Mighty Max, as I'm going to call him, I think. But just, he absolutely walked it. It was typical kind of... It's the sort of drive of a world champion. I'm going to say that.
Yeah, it was... sort of Vettel-esque of his time at Red Bull, wasn't it? And the years we won, we're coming to the year now. Was it 12?
Yeah, 11 to 13, Vettel really dominated.
One of those years, he won like 8 of the last 9 races or something stupid. And I remember sort of probably was 13 because I remember sticking to podcasts and sort of saying it wasn't for Vettel, the racing would be quite good for second place. But it's very Vettel-esque to sort of get in the head and just control the race. And with the first race, probably Hamilton was a bit closer. He kind of thought, well, was there a chance? But he sort of dropped off. And then the second race was just miles ahead. You didn't really see him, which is a sign of just dominating. But it was probably a tough few weeks for Mercedes sitting there watching that thing, and I don't really know how we're going to get back at him, especially for Hamilton as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the one thing that stood out was the Mercedes, the steering Grand Prix, the first one, they just kind of had one Mercedes in the fight, which was Hamilton just cruising around in second. Bottas wasn't really anywhere fighting for anything. But the second race, Bottas kind of came back a bit, and I mean, he drove pretty well.
Yeah, he sort of first Grand Prix, I'm trying to remember that first Grand Prix. I think his normal sort of style of pretty decent in practice and in qualifying, but yeah, I think him and Perez were 20 odd seconds behind Hamilton. And Hamilton and class apart really for that race, but Bottas came back in the second race. Obviously Hamilton had his damage, which Mercedes told us was half a second to 7/10, I think they worked out, but which apparently wasn't Hamilton's fault either, because I wondered if it was his fault by running wide or whatever, but apparently it wasn't. It was just a bit of wear and tear, which is a slight worry. You kind of think of them.
Very strange, not even halfway through the season and the car's just getting wear and tear, but hopefully it's a part there that they're going to update and it could just make him better.
Yeah, and it was, we've had the last few weeks, we've had varying reports of whether Mercedes are doing upgrades or they're not, and what they're doing, and how you describe an upgrade, if it's already in plan, is it up? Yeah, so that's a bit confusing, but you definitely get the impression that Red Bull are seeing this as an opportunity to win, and will probably push a little bit more than Mercedes regarding upgrades and stuff. But it was one track, and you go back to Paul Ricard, Mercedes were pretty close to winning the Grand Prix. So this week in Silverstone, they could be different, but you do start to wonder if Mercedes will need that, have much time that Nigel Mansell used to say that the Silverstone crowd used to give him. And you wonder if it was half a second, or was it probably Nigel Mansell, probably was a second that he said.
But you
start to wonder if Mercedes will need a little bit of Silverstone crowd boost for Hamilton.
They might need that, but of course Verstappen's got maybe that's why he was so dominant in Austria, because of the crowd. Yeah, there was a lot of Dutch fans there, wasn't there?
So, the crazy Dutch, yeah. So
the scenes of them having a rave before the race was just fantastic. Absolutely love it.
I'm just always surprised how they actually seem to fill out these places. Like, you know, for Brits, from a British point of view, you've got a fair amount of British fans in normal circumstances where people can travel. There's a fair amount of Brits around Europe watching, but the Dutch seem to just get everywhere. I don't know, like some sort of, I don't know if I've met too many F1 drivers in the past, but it seems like they're enjoying enjoying Max Verstappen and taking them up.
Oh, I suppose, who was the last one? Was it Van?
Van der Gaard. Van der Gaard was a few years in Caterham. Did he have a year at Caterham?
Yeah, I think he had a year at Caterham. Then
he was one of the four drivers that turned up at the Australian Grand Prix to race for Sauber. All claiming they all had a contract. And then he sort of disappeared. I think there's a guy in the noughties. I can't remember his name now.
I mean, there was obviously Jos.
Dornbos. Was he Dutch?
Sounds right.
Yeah, because he was in the Spyker, which I think was a Dutch. Was that a Dutch company?
I think it is. If I remember from Top Gear, I'm sure they were Dutch.
That sounds right.
One of those ones, various different names, and sort of the Force India, whatever it ended up being. But that was probably Verstappen Senior was the one before then. So obviously a huge F1 following in there. Definitely enjoying the
definitely enjoying it right now. Well, we did a little poll on our Twitter page. And it was in relation to kind of Mercedes' struggles, but also Bottas' struggles. And we said, if you, you know, vote now, if you were Toto, would you replace Bottas with Russell for Silverstone onwards? Now, this was 58% to 42% said yes, get George in ASAP. The other, the 42% said no, wait until next year. So it was slightly favouring on getting George in the car as soon as possible. But we had TJ Garrison reply to us on Twitter, and he said, I think the car itself is a bigger issue. They should not have these engine power issues and deficit to Red Bull, and their strategy leaves something to be desired. Now, I think that's a really good point. Where have Red Bull suddenly got all this engine power from? Where have Honda suddenly got it from?
Yeah, I mean, from the start of the season, there's reports saying how much of a push they've made being there last year. And I think they've completely redesigned the engine, which was a bit of a risk at the time because it could have gone wrong. But they seem to put a hell of a lot of effort into it, so maybe to win before they leave, and then leave Red Bull with a fairly decent Red Bull engine when they disappear. But it's fairly impressive how far they've come to get ahead of Mercedes. And also, you did worry with a big push if it'd be reliable, but from what we've seen so far, it seems pretty reliable. So, hats, as Nicky Lauda would do, sort of hats off to Honda for what they've done. Just feels a bit of a shame that they're leaving the sport when they could have all this credit they could be getting next year and the years after.
But. Well, just think back to 2009. They finally put all their efforts on 2009 and was like, right, we're going to get a good design car, and then that's it, now we're going to pull out the sport.
Yeah.
Ross Brawn had to come in and take over, and I mean, thank goodness he did, because that car was a winner, and they had it, you know.
And Mercedes, we wouldn't be sitting here probably saying how great Mercedes have been for the last hybrid era.
That's funny, isn't it? Honda come back into the sport and end up having to beat their old team.
Yeah. That's what I did when I watched before. It's like funny how was the McLaren Mercedes for all those years, and then McLaren, also Mercedes, left to build their own team. And then McLaren ended up being annoyed at being just a customer team from Mercedes, and then ended up getting the Honda, which obviously was originally the Mercedes team. But it just seems, also the fact that Brawn year, I think I read once that they put 100 million towards the budget of that year. You know, like, they got no, didn't really get any credit at all, really. It's the story of Brawn being that one season wonder, but it does seem, it's a shame, really.
And we want more engine manufacturers on the grid. And when there's new rules to be announced, it seems a bit soon to say, no, we're dropping out.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got new engine rules to be decided and announced. And I mean, who knows? That could really favour loads of manufacturers, and they might suddenly be like, hey, let's come back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. They probably will do, because they always end up going and then they come back sort of 7 years later. So what was it? Yeah, so they left in end of 2008, and what, they come back 2015 they were back.
Yeah, 14 it was McLaren Mercedes still, so it must have been,
yeah, that's the following year.
15 when they came back from McLaren, it must have been
6 years, so end of this decade they'll probably be back. It's another team, yeah.
Who knows, England could win the Football World Cup or something by then, so you never know.
They could
win the World Cup and the next Euros, and then Honda come back into it. Who knows, we'll see. But speaking of McLaren Mercedes, we need to mention them because they've been driving well. Yes, please. Sorry, I was trying to find
it. Heavy, you
yep. Thank you. Oh, lovely.
Enjoy your meal, Jen.
Brilliant, thank you very much.
Cheers.
Lovely. Right, our food is here. So we'll pause part one of the podcast because we've got Hunter's chicken and a gourmet beef burger. So yeah, food. Let's do this. We're going to pause here and we'll come back and we'll discuss McLaren Mercedes.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
Okay, we're back. We've had a lovely meal. I'm quite full now, but I've still got space for beer, so it's all good. But did you enjoy it, Carl?
It's very good. Yeah, top quality rush cutters. Not expecting a free meal or anything, but yeah, quality as always. So if you're ever in the Thorpe side of Norwich, you know, pop in. I think a few people have popped in based on our recommendations, haven't they, over the years? So
there was someone who, there was a kid who got his dad to drive miles to come and visit, and he left a note, didn't he? So that worked out well. So
still listening.
Yeah, I hope you're still listening. If you are, give us a shout on Twitter. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We'll drop the handles for all three at the NRF1. Patreon, patreon.com/NRF1. Go check us out on there, get in touch on there. Was there anything else am I missing? What am I missing? Usual shout outs. I can't remember all the rest of them. I didn't write a script because we're keeping it casual. We're keeping it easy because this is our, as promised, this is our bumper Austria review, but also preview of Silverstone. So getting it all into one. But we were going to talk about McLaren Mercedes before we took the break, and we needed to mention, because Lando Norris, he did brilliantly, he finished second in Austria in the Austria Part 2 race, but he had a bit of an argument along the way with a bit of racing, we should just say, with Sergio Perez.
Shoulder barging, I suppose, is the football term into it. But well, Perez was involved a lot of it during the week, but
there was a lot of people who were involved in penalties in that race anyway.
But I watched the videos again, even watched Jody and Palmer's analysis of it before we come here, and I still think it was a bit harsh. And I've even going back a year before to the Hamilton album, I thought was a bit, because I've always got the impression if you go around the outside of somebody, you are taking a bigger risk. And even Christian Horner said during the Sky commentary, bit of a racing incident. And I mean, it looks worse because there's gravel at this corner, which a lot of corners in Formula 1 isn't gravel, and people can run slightly wide and carry on. I just thought, what's that kind of thing? I mean, I'm no physics expert or engineer or whatever, but I kind of think if you're in the middle of the track, you are braking to hit the apex of the corner and then drift out the quickest line. And if somebody's then suddenly dives down the outside of you, you can't really stop what you're doing, can you?
If you're driving around a corner, you kind of need to keep your eyes on where you're driving out of the corner and not look in your mirror to see who might or might not be there. I mean, if you're looking in your mirror and you're not seeing where you're going, you can mess up anyways. If anything, that's more dangerous.
Yeah, so I just think there's camera angles, and Perez does look slightly ahead as going into a corner, but that could be just because he's breaking later, because he's taking a later entry into the corner because he's going on the outside. I'm not too sure about it, and I understand the argument that you want to have allow racing, so you want to allow people to try and make moves around the outside, but I've always, even from my very amateur karting, that if you run around the outside somebody and outside the corner, you were taking a risk, and that you could be pushed out onto gravel, stones, grass, whatever it is. And I just thought, also, it's Joe Palmer, just credit him in this, it's been 2 years since they've made that decision based on like running somebody wide. I mean, you had, 2 years ago, you had Verstappen overtaking Leclerc at the very same track, I mean, the turn three, I mean, up the hill, to win the race, and he ran Charlie wide. So you like, and it just seemed to be this weekend, or the second race, that if you ran the outside of somebody, somebody pushed you off, that was a penalty.
Yeah. I mean, we did see others who could. There was Alonso and George Russell who had a great battle towards the end of the race. Alonso was trying to go around the outside. I think it was the same corner. He went for it, but he couldn't make it stick. I mean, George drove defensively, but Alonso kept out of the gravel. Now, watching the replays, I kind of felt that Lando kind of, there was still, he left space. It wasn't like he bumped into him and pushed him off. it might have been a tiny bit of tyre contact, but I mean, for me, like you've already said, I thought it was very harsh. But then it was also like, well, if Perez could have got it, he would have been there. It just kind of seemed to me that he was going too fast, and he just kind of ran out of track in the end. It was the car just wouldn't grip anyway. So
yeah, that's how it goes. Seems. Yeah. I think it's possibly over kind of web as well, because you have just a lot of drivers just hanging around the outside of corners waiting to be pushed off. And yeah, if you're at a track where there is no gravel, you know, Abu Dhabi for example, where you, there's plenty of runoff, you can run wide and carry on, then it could cause issues. Also, it's fair that on that same lap, Lando Norris was the inside of turn one because it's following the safety car, so that when, and he ends up, Perez on his outside, and Perez ends up off the track again. But because of turn one, he just carried on and followed him up the, because it's tarmac, he just followed him up the pavement. But it's kind of exactly the same as the previous one.
Well, that was the other thing for me. I always remember Hamilton and Raikkonen in Spa in 2007 or 2008, I can't remember which one it was. But
eight,
and the rules, you know, Hamilton went behind Raikkonen, and then he overtook him into the next corner, and they said, "Oh no, that's not allowed because you had to stay behind him for one corner because you went wide." Now, by those rules, which I might have just missed this over the years, but I don't think they've changed. But by those rules, Perez, by running wide at turn one, going into, well, I've just asked my own question, because turn three technically is the next corner, but because turn two is not a corner, but yeah, I suppose he was behind at turn two, so okay, maybe that's not the point, but you know what I mean.
That's the lasting advantage from running wide, so I think it was an incredibly hard job, stewards and that, but you do have to worry sometimes how they look at the rules. And I thought, out of all these running wide penalties, I thought Perez's third one was incredibly harsh, because what we're talking about in the second corner six, and this is the first left hander, isn't it? Yeah, start going down the hill. I also looked on board for that, and Perez is way ahead of, obviously a decent step ahead of Leclerc just sort of bombs around the outside because he doesn't have to rake as early because he's taking later entry, and then suddenly he's, yeah, like, Perez couldn't probably see where he was, so he's just taking a pretty much normal line, and suddenly there's a Ferrari on the outside. Physics doesn't allow him to stop. He can't just stop in the middle of the gate. Oh, sorry, I'll let you through. And as for, can't
sort of, the stewards kind of gave themselves that problem, because they kind of took that harsh approach in the first place against Lando. They kind of had to back it up no matter who it was. So in the end, there was like 13 drivers or something at the end of the race were called to the stewards because of the way they were driving, and it was a bit mad. Yeah. It was a bit mad.
Lando Norris got penalty points, so he's now got 8 or 9 penalty points.
Yeah. Not I think three far. More, he gets the 12, yeah, and it's a race ban, isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
like, well, also, that bit of understanding, because he's been given the penalty in the race, and then he's getting another 2 points for. Plus that, like, well, you're giving him the penalty in the race. It's like, you know, football, you know, because we talk a little bit, but you give a penalty away, you don't then get a point deducted as well afterwards. That's the penalty for what you did in that race. And unless you punt somebody off like Grosjean, then maybe that's different. But a little 5 second penalty, which is, you know, which is the lowest penalty they can give. Do you need to give penalty points as well?
Well, we weren't the only ones to think it was harsh, because again we did another Twitter poll, and we simply asked, was Norris's penalty deserved? 11% said yes, 89% said no. So the vast majority of people really said no, wasn't a penalty. And there was kind of real outcry as well, because the fans just wanted to see racing. And I mean, the amount of penalties, the way that they had handled it, the, you know, stewards handled it, like we said, it's a difficult job, but it didn't seem right. And we need to give a shout out to our own Dan Springle here as well, because he said on the pod group, kind of reading through on our WhatsApp group, he kind of went through that, and he said, reading the rules, the stewards followed the rules, even though it's harsh, that they did follow the writing of the rules. So you think, does something need to be changed? But we see so many people go to the outside and it doesn't end up in an accident or running wide or a penalty. I mean,
yeah, Dan's right, there's the rules and they follow the rules, but then I didn't know this until I watched this, the Jolyon Palmer analysis of it, that they haven't, that penalty hasn't been given for 2 years, so surely there's been incidents before where people have been ran wide trying to overtake on the other side. So yeah, I suppose they, I don't know, they may have brought the rule in because grey areas in sport and rules then sometimes creates more problems, so maybe they tried to be black and white, but I just think that's, the rules need to be adjusted if that's the way they're going to look at the rules, and that's the way they're going to, you know, use that to punish drivers, then I think that's far too harsh, but who knows.
We'll see. But I think that pretty much wraps up Austria. We'll do a couple of the awards just thrown out there for both races, across both races. Who was your driver of the weekend's?
I think I've given obviously praised Norris a lot and throughout the season, but we're going to have to go to Max Verstappen, I think, just for domination really over 2 weekends. He's got the quickest car, but Perez wasn't near him and he took advantage of the fastest car, and he's a standout for me over the two.
Yeah, you can't argue it. It was something there from that weekend. So we smashed it, and I think we might as well jump straight ahead and look at Silverstone, British Grand Prix, because I mean, obviously we're building up to it now. There's been a lot of announcements along the way. So Lewis has his new contract. We already mentioned Lando's new contract. It's another British driver confirmed. Lewis has a new Mercedes contract. Is that a good move, do you think, going to next year?
Yeah, I think it's good for everybody. I think it's good for Hamilton. Sounds like he's got a bit more money than this year's deal, which is obviously good for him. He remains in a good team. It's good for Formula One to have a 7-time world champion still in the sport and still competitive. Racing against the young guys coming through, and he's sort of the older generation, and
no more distractions now for Hamilton. He can just concentrate on racing for this year at least.
Yeah, and he seems even more motivated from the sound of it. That Mercedes being second biggest car at the moment, he seems more motivated to race, and maybe it's good for Mercedes. They've got stability, they've got the global brand that is Lewis Hamilton, which helps. It's good for everybody, and just be interesting to see who will be in the car alongside him next year.
Yeah, definitely. So that brings us on to the other gossip. So this is our gossip section. We don't have a lot of sting for this, but gossip section. Shh, that'll do. But we've already mentioned him, George Russell. He's been linked with the Mercedes seat constantly
since he got into Formula One.
Since Formula One.
Yeah.
And there was rumours that he would be announced as a Mercedes driver this weekend for next season. So driver for next season this weekend, which he said in, I think, F1 Nation podcast, nothing's been signed, nothing's been agreed, there is no announcement.
Which I think that's sort of the rumour built up because. It would probably not, he's two British drivers, you know, second one, George Russell, the British Grand Prix, but I still don't think Mercedes have made their mind up. I mean, they've probably got the Lewis Hamilton one done, and now it's kind of like, okay, now we'll work out who's going to be there. I think in an ideal world you'd want, being rich motorsport fans and Norfolk Formula 1 fans, have a Norfolk driver in a very quick car would be good. And also, I think Mercedes, their long term, obviously Hamilton's 36 to be 37 next year, he's going to for the long term future Mercedes, you probably want somebody like Russell in there, and also you also assume if Russell's not going to get a Mercedes seat soon, then he's going to start looking elsewhere. And I mean, even Helmut Marko sort of came out a few times. Yeah. So I mean, anybody would want him. He's quick.
Yeah, I mean, it's Red Bull that, you know, the Red Bull boss coming up to say we want Russell, but we can't believe he's going to be released from his Mercedes contract. Now, George said in an interview the other day, asking about next season, he said, whatever happens, I'll be driving a car powered by Mercedes. So there's obviously three on the grid right now with Williams, Aston Martin, oh no, four, sorry, I should say. Yeah, Williams, Aston Martin, McLaren, and then Mercedes themselves. He's not likely to go to McLaren. You wouldn't have thought Aston Martin.
No, I mean, obviously McLaren is Lando Norris. Three-year deal. I mean, Danny Rick signed a three-year deal going there, so that's pretty wrapped up, isn't it?
And you wouldn't cancel any of theirs to get George in. I think they're, you know, they're both just as good right now. And
sort of mentioned how good Lando's doing, and Danny Rick's got to be given a bit more time. Aston Martin, I assume Vettel signed a reasonably long couple of years, probably 3 years. And
also, 3 years sounds right.
Yeah, and the other lad is the son's boss. So
yeah. And to be fair, Aston Martin, Vettel's doing a good job. He's driven well. He's picked up as the season's gone on. Stroll, kind of, he's shown it at times, but then he's also not really shown too much.
So God, basically, you think he sort of qualifies really well and then races really well and sort of lower end of the points. You think, and then next race he'll go out in Q1. You think, there is some of that. He's been average. He's not been bad enough to lose your seat when you're a favourite of the boss. So yeah, I think it's either going to be Williams or it's going to be Mercedes. And, it's a big decision for Mercedes to. That's obviously been working, but then do they need something a little bit extra now because they may not be happy?
Well, they didn't put Ocon in the car when they had the chance. Ocon dropped out for a season before he ended up with Renault, now Alpine. But I can't imagine George dropping out. I think if George, for whatever reason, didn't get a contract, didn't want to stay at Williams, I think there'd be several other teams suddenly jumping in. I mean, you can see
Red Bull. They got four seats, well, three seats really, haven't they? Obviously, Max is wrapped up, but they got AlphaTauri seats.
And George is the last of that generation of drivers to come into the sport. Him, Lando, and Albon. He's the last one to get a shot in a big team, you'd say. And he was the guy who won the F2 championship, who many would argue is probably the best driver of the three of them.
He dominated in a way at the end. I mean, so Lando has sort of tailed off a bit towards the sort of second half of that year. Also Lando is, I think, 2 years younger. He's younger than him.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Lando driving in the British F4 championship, which was like on the British touring car circuit. They were them, and I mean, so he's kind of, Lando came through quickly, so obviously there's that argument, but George is the last one to get a chance in a top race seat, and the way he's driven, you'd say he's proven himself good enough.
Well, it would be good I like Bottas. He's a good driver. He's not the top driver, and that's why he gets beat by Hamilton, but he's competed against a guy who is statistically the best driver ever to sit in an F1 car, so that's always hard to judge from that. But you just would love to see George Russell alongside him. And and as I mentioned earlier, the future of Mercedes, if they get somebody in there to then take over as team leader when, or you know, even while Hamilton's maybe there, he can do that. But we shall see.
We'll see. And I hope George does get to Mercedes personally. I think he'd do a smashing job there. Was there any other gossip we missed from Silverstone, build up to Silverstone?
We've also got full crowds at Silverstone this weekend, which
140,000 they're saying max capacity, so that'll be great to see the fans back there.
Obviously we're being a bit biased, but we've also been there. It is a hell of a weekend for British motorsport fans. But I think also Silverstone pretty much admitted that they needed this because they're obviously financial big trouble, so it's great for them. So yeah, so we'll see if Lewis Hamilton does any crowd surfing this time.
Yeah,
well, COVID rules, he probably won't be allowed to, will he?
Yeah, I'm going to say probably all in masks and stuff, but no, it'll be interesting to see, and I hope it'll be a good race. And what are you expecting? I mean, you were saying earlier it's going to be a scorcher. Do you think that's going to change the racing? Do you think Mercedes are going to come alive?
I was kind of thinking Red Bull probably did a little bit better in the warm weather.
Red Bull have looked at whatever the weather's been, they've kind of looked solid. I mean, we haven't seen the wet weather yet, so
yeah,
you can't decide.
I mean, it's a change. It could be, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we all know what Britain's like with the weather. I mean, they said it was supposed to be pretty rainy today, I think, and I mean, it's not been too bad. I don't think it's, I haven't seen it rain at all, but
yeah, an easy change, so which might be quite, yeah. But yeah, you have to say at the moment Red Bull look the favourite based on that, but Hamilton's very good around Silverstone. Was it seven times as well?
Yeah, seven times, because I keep seeing the Channel 4 advert which says could Hamilton win his eighth British Grand Prix.
Oh, okay.
So seven times.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the crowd support may boost him along, but it always seems that Red Bull will have a quick car and Mercedes sort of turn up at the racetrack and go, we don't really know what car's going to be like this weekend. And
yeah, Mercedes seem to do that. They go into practice one and they're a bit shaky.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're missing some time. We go into practice two. They find a bit more.
Yeah.
And then suddenly practice three qualifying, it's like, okay, yeah, we know what we're doing now.
Yeah.
I mean, this week they can't afford any of that because practice two sets the grid for Formula One's first ever sprint race.
Yeah, so we practice one as normal, the hour, and then at 6 o'clock our time is qualifying / which would normally be practice two. So yeah, you're not gonna, if practice one goes horribly wrong, you're on the back foot. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see if there's any, I imagine that's probably well done, to see if they can get any unusual results for qualifying.
Well, we've seen the AlphaTauris look pretty quick in practice. They've really shown up. So you know, if it's a circuit that suits their car, they could surprise a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, they're normally quick out of the box. Like Gasly's always seems to be seventh or eighth, isn't he, in qualifying?
Yeah. And they were saying about the sprint race as well, I think I read today, it's 17 laps. You can choose any tire you like and it's one set. So a lot is going to depend on, I don't know which compound, so whether it's C234s Pirelli's are bringing, I'm not sure yet.
I imagine it'll be the toughest ones because we had the blowouts last year, didn't we?
Yeah.
I also got the new rear tyres as well, I think, this weekend.
They agreed the new tyres, so got those new ones.
Yeah, which to fair, a lot of teams like can't tell the difference, but there probably is a little bit of difference. But because it's 100 kilometres, isn't it? It's just a third of the normal race distance. So, yeah, my first thoughts are, are you just going to kind of get a decent position on the grid and go, well, I'll do some in the sprint race and go, well, I'm second, I'm front row, this will do. But yeah, it may not, it's worth a try. And it's not like in previous years I've chucked in new qualifying rules at the start of the season and two or three races later and gone, well, this isn't working, I'll change it back. So they're trying something, fair enough. But also you should think about Valtteri Bottas for pole, because he is Mr. Friday, isn't he? Well, George Russell is Mr. Saturday, but Valtteri Bottas is normally Mr. Friday, isn't he? So
yeah, it'll be interesting. And of course the big thing is, it just going to be a snake of drivers following each other around, or will someone say, you know what, I'm going to go and make the move? Because I'm sure someone's going to go for a move, it's not going to work out, and they're going to probably end up essentially qualifying five positions further back than what they otherwise would have. And you can probably be sure someone will take a risk and it'll backfire, because that's what Formula 1, that's what happens in Formula 1.
I'm thinking Yuki Tsunoda. I can see him going, you know, full on
youth and inexperience,
and then blame somebody else because he does get a bit angry old Tsunoda.
Where's Ericsson when you need him?
Blame Ericsson. I mean, one of these first IndyCar, they've always slightly off topic, but I think I'm sure I saw him when he's in his Husky chocolate, which Husky chocolate have provided us with free goods before. But it was, yeah. So I think, yeah, Tsunoda might be, he might take a few risks. I'm trying to think of drivers that would take risks, really. But
oh, I'm sure the Williams guys would, because they haven't really got much to lose.
Yeah, because of Russell going for it. Latifi will probably spin, because he also does spin.
Mazepin, I mean, you know what you can expect from him.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Poor guy. Every time you see him, he's having it lapped, he's off track, isn't he?
The thing that stands out for me, going back to the tyres, obviously, not sure what actual compounds they're going to bring yet. But you think 17 laps, we've seen soft tyres last that long, okay. But then we've also seen soft tyres fall apart after 10 laps.
Yeah.
Now, a sprint race, you're going to want to go as quick as possible. Silverstone is easy to overtake. You've got DRS zones. So, so you're going to just have to go quick.
Yeah.
Now, would someone, you know, I guess if it's a bit of an unknown, would they say the soft tyres were lasting 15 laps, would they say, let's go for the softs, have more grip, and risk them falling off? Or should we just go for the mediums and just blitz it? It's the strategy, I think, could come into it quite a lot as well.
Hopefully it will be between optimum for a soft tyre and the medium tyre.
Let's hope the soft tyres last about 13-14 laps.
Yeah, quick start, and then the medium runners sort of come back.
Yeah, oh, that'd be something.
We can hope, but I'm kind of looking forward to something different. Just leave work on Friday, go home straight and watch qualifying. So in the evening sunshine of Northamptonshire. So
I guess evening temperatures could change everything as well.
True.
And how are they doing it? So the sprint race sets the grid for the main race.
Yeah.
Now, so do you have to start on the same compound of tyres, or how's that working?
No, I think you can get a free allocation of tyres.
Okay.
So, yeah, which is a bit of a shame. Yeah, they could have done, yeah, that'd be interesting. You'll start the tyres you finish on.
Maybe not like the same ones, but that compound at least is a bit.
Yeah, but watch some of them broke again. I think. I'm intrigued to see how drivers will take it. Actually, thinking of another driver that might take risks is old Charlie Leclerc, because he likes a good, he takes a few risks when he's not driving into the side of his fellow countryman down the straight. And then Kimi Räikkönen nearly took it the front off, but he's still a good driver today. He might be another one, but I'm just intrigued to see what. Ideally, you'd want like Verstappen and Hamilton to have some sort of slight collision into.
Could you imagine?
Yeah,
that'd be something. 19th, 20th on the grid, having to work their way back up. Wow,
sprint race and just absolutely
So, what's happening on the Saturdays? Well, is there anything, or is that just nothing?
There's a practice two.
Okay,
Saturday morning, and then obviously the sprint race. What is it? 4:30? I think that's quite late on Saturday. I think 5:00, something like that. But because they go into Parc Fermé when qualifying starts, you can't do a huge amount of changes in second practice, so there'll be a few cars that aren't ideally set up, which might make it interesting as well. But I think a few the simulator drivers will earn their money, I think, sort of this week.
Yeah, definitely. And interestingly, you're going to think, lap records, are they going to count on this? Because in a sprint race, if it's still classified as a race and the lap records count, they could go 3 seconds a lap faster than normal, because fuel loads are going to be so much lower when they've got good tyres.
True. I assume they won't, but because it is a we call it sprint qualifying. Trying to avoid the word race. Also, I did hear that they're a bit old school, the celebrations, that they're going to go on the back of a truck, like the old Reefs they used to wear.
Oh, wow.
And they're going to do they're going to do a podium, they're going to do that sort of back of a truck.
That would be great to see. As long as I don't know, maybe we can get Kimmy up there and just crack open a beer and do full on James Hunt.
Yes, you're driving tomorrow, Kimmy. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I think Silverstone crowd will enjoy that. This is a quite long lap as well, so the old bloke in the old truck will have to get his foot down, they'll hang it straight with him, chugging along. But something different, isn't it? So
I look forward to it. Now I've been talking about it, I'm more excited than I was for it. So we've obviously got the main feature race as well, which will be the usual Silverstone excitement. What are your expectations? Do you think it's going to be kind of business as usual? Do you think anyone else is going to suddenly turn up out of nowhere? Could Ferrari suddenly turn up again?
Could do. I'm trying to think where they've been. All that. No, I think
where were they strong? Was it Baku and Monaco they got?
Yeah, I think they're sort of slow corners. They're pretty good. So I'm sort of saying there's not many of them. So I can see them struggling, to be honest. Like Norris will be strong again.
That McLaren had some straight line speed in Austria, yeah. So that would be useful if they have that around Silverstone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's got a funny thing. Something unusual is going to happen in the race. I think they're going to be an unusual winner. Could be Norris, could be. Yeah, I think something. Yeah, I got. Because we've had sort of. Verstappen's won four in the last five. So, I think that's right. So, yeah, something different we can have this weekend. Different winner. No idea who, but something, yeah.
Maybe it would be.
Non Mercedes slash Red Bull win. I'll go for that.
Non Mercedes slash Red Bull. That sounds interesting. So, ooh, I could throw up a few teams in there. It's been so close.
Maybe Giovinazzi will continue the Italian triumph on UK shores.
It really is an Italian summer this summer. They've smashed the Wimbledon, smashed the Euros. What was the other thing they won? They won something else. I forgot what it was. I can't remember. I've forgotten. But they did something. Cool. But I look forward to it. It should be a good race. And we should say business will resume with regards to the podcast. This has just been a bit more of a casual one and a kind of bumper post-Austria, pre-Britain podcast. And I hope you've enjoyed it. It's nice to be back in the pub. And I think we'll be back in the usual process with the podcast, with the Patreon podcast, with all the added bonuses and all the rest of that after Silverstone, when we've got more time to fit it all in, because it's been a busy few weeks. But I think that's everything.
I think we've covered most things. Probably something I've forgotten. I'll get in the car and now I should mention that. But at the moment, that's all I can think of.
Well, we will be back, which will be E283. And we'll try and get back in the rush cuts again, because it's been good.
Yeah, feels like the old F1, NRF1 days.
Yeah, definitely. Well,
that's
definitely.
Not true, but yeah, feels. Yeah. Feels good to be back.
Definitely. Well, thank you everyone for listening. This has been the NRF1 podcast. Thank you for your continued support. Thank you from me. Thank you from Kyle.
Cheerio.
And we'll see you next time. Bye for now.